The difference between discernment and judgmentalism. I would say that one of the occupational hazards of being a biblical counselor is that we are forced to use discernment all the time. Right? Our job, if you want to use that, our ministry relates to discernment. Unless we are practicing discernment, we're not going to do well as a biblical counselor. That's like driving a vehicle with the trailer attached to it through New York City. It takes skill to drive it through there, but just the fact you're driving through there means there's a lot of places you can get into a jam. I fish a lot, and every time you put a boat, you put a trailer, you attach it to your vehicle, you realize I've got to pay attention because the way I normally drive or what I normally do, I just have to pay that much more attention. I think when we think about this issue between discernment and judgmentalism, as biblical counselors, we at some level we say, this is one of those places we have to be careful how we turn our corners. We have to be careful what we do, where we go, because if we're not careful, we can become professional critics. We can be quick at hot takes. There is a discerning, I'm going to go ahead and step in it. Notice this first statement. The hard reality of the evangelical world is that it's divided and dividing. There are individuals, there are entire ministries that are discernment ministries. I'm going to graciously say, I don't think we need discernment ministries. I think you can trust most people to be discerning. They may need a little guidance, but if that's what you do every day, you're going to have a very hard time staying on the path of not being a judgmental person. Mercy, aren't we glad for God's mercy? I've recently been studying, well, we're going to go off script here for a minute, but the mercy that Jesus demonstrated to Peter is incredible. When he said to Peter, Peter, Satan desires to sift you, right there, hours before the cross. In just a couple hours, Peter's going to deny Jesus three times. And he says to Peter, Peter, Satan desires to sift you. But I have prayed for you, and when you've gotten through this, what? You're going to strengthen the brethren. Now think of how powerful that is. Before Peter sinned, Jesus, in terms of his timeline, was already talking about victory on the other side of it. He hadn't even sinned yet. That's one of what I would suggest are many examples of how Jesus is much more committed to mercy and forgiveness than what we typically are as brothers and sisters in Christ when we observe sin in somebody else's life. God forgives them, but God's people don't. I said I'm off script for 1 second. Well, I'll get back on in a second. You know, this is a sad element. I had someone come to me and say, you know what? I know we should have forgiven this person, but I just don't. And then they explained basically why they weren't going to forgive him. And I thought, oh, heavens. How, as a brother or sister in Christ, would you be committed in your heart to not forgiving? Right? There's a significant issue there. I had a family one time, this is a different scenario. I had a family one time say, you know, I think y'all were too kind. They came and they disagreed with the church discipline, the procedure and what eventually happened. They came to me and said, yeah, I disagree with you on that. You should have done this. And it related to being a little bit more harsh and not forgiving. And basically said, we're going to leave the church. And I thought in my mind, well, God bless you. We'll catch you some other day. Accuse me of being too kind and too full of mercy, and I'll say, that's just fine. I want to be just hard enough that some people are uncomfortable and just forgiving enough that some others are as well, right? Then you know you're about right where you're supposed to be. Don't allow the internet to make you a overly judgmental person. There are great, again, discernment ministries abound. And if you want to find criticism, it's not hard to find people who will criticize. The goal is to make observations that have discernment, but to not be critical. Right? I remember when I wrote when I defended my doctoral dissertation, I had an outside reader, and the outside reader said, "You know what? This was fantastic. I loved your paper. I love this. I love that." Said all kinds of cool stuff, but then said, "But this is my one concern." And named another believer and said, "When you dealt with this person's work in your literature review, you weren't critical enough." I just laughed. I said, "Well, okay, I'm guilty, right? I needed to be more critical." But reality is, I've been more critical. God has used a lot of things in my life to chisel off those edges. And I think, I hope what I've learned, maybe I can share some of that with you. Because there is a difference between discerning and being judgmental. And as biblical counselors, we must be good at discernment. We don't need to be judgmental. Again, one more statement here. I think in the evangelical world, and just at this point, pick your group, pick your situation, that there are a lot of individuals. The evangelical world, in my mind, I'm rephrasing that statement, seems hardly any less judgmental than the political world. And when you can't tell any difference between the judgmentalism of politics and the judgmentalism of living in Christ, right, we've got a problem somewhere. So we just want to be aware. We don't want to add to that. Those of us, like myself, there's several of us in here that have websites. Right at kevincarson.com, I try not to be the hot take person. I try to speak into culture, and I address culture a lot because somebody needs to. And that's what even built the whole website. But you have to be able to do that in a way that you're not always responding with a hot take. Right? That's typically hot takes tend towards judgmentalism. And so there's a level of what? Discernment that's needed. Number two, as biblical counselors who believe in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, what is that? Well, those are the two verses where Philippians 2:12 says, as much as you can, live consistent with the gospel, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We know that people need to grow and change. We know that We don't keep people in boxes. We know that a good God works in the lives and hearts of people to help them grow and change. We're grateful for that. And there's a responsibility to grow and change. And then verse 13 says what? For it's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So not only are we responsible to change, but God is working in us to change. And as biblical counselors then, who understand that both and, of you have a responsibility, but yet God is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, we should be the prime examples of those who use discernment and are not judgmental. Right? If there are people in your church who are the champions of discernment, it should be you. And who no one would ever say, "Boy, you seem judgmental." As biblical counselors, I would hope that that would never be our testimony. Let me tell you to my shame. Some of you have been in a class I teach here at the seminary at Faith, and I tell this story in that class, and it is just embarrassing. I remember a lady who said to me one time, she said, "You intimidate me." And I remember walking away from that conversation proud of it, thinking, well, you should be. Now, this was around 1995 or 96. God's done a lot since then, I think. I hope. But I just think, what a disaster. No one in the early 90s would have said he is a champion for sanctification.